Let's take our Bibles this morning, go to Psalm 19. As we're turning to Psalm 19, we'll have the children dismissed for the super church and nursery. So we take our Bibles and go to the book of Psalms. And if you are able to, would you stand with me? I'd like to read a few verses from Psalm 19 in verse number 7 this morning. There is none like our God. He is faithful. Here in Psalm chapter 19, and I appreciate those who are taking care of the children this morning. The Lord bless them. In Psalm 19, verse number 7, he says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Well, I look this morning at the achievements of God's Word, the achievements of God's Word. Let's have prayer, first of all. Father, I thank you that you are a God who does not change, and we have your never-changing Word. We have your character and who you are to live our lives upon. And I pray that as we open up your Word this morning, this would speak to our hearts. And I pray for those teaching the children. I pray you'll watch over them as well. And we thank you for this time to worship you and to look into your Word. I ask for your Holy Spirit's filling to preach just that which you would have this morning. In Jesus' name, and amen. Please be seated. As we were putting these John and Romans together yesterday, we might often ask ourselves the question, what will this achieve? What will this achieve? What will this accomplish? Obviously, for me, as I looked at this, I said, this wouldn't accomplish a thing for me. I even looked up John 3:16 so that I would know kind of what it's saying there. I figured out two words, life and eternal. That's it. I could kind of pick that apart. The rest of it would not achieve a thing. He would say there's an achievement, though, going to a people of that language that is going to make a difference in their lives. As we look at the Word of God, we expect it to achieve things. Now, let me ask you this question. God's Word in your life, what has it achieved? What has the Word of God accomplished in your life? Was there a change in your life when you were born again? Did it bring you to that point where it brought change to you? Oh, I said the change word. That'll scare some people. But we find that when we come to Christ, He changes us. Is He continuing to change you? Are there achievements that are coming from God's Word that are coming into your life? It's not just, well, you know, I've been saved, I've known the Lord for a certain amount of time, and now I know it all. I don't think anybody in their right mind is going to say, I've got it all figured out or I know it all. So when we come to that, we say, look at what the Word of God is continuing to do in my life, the achievements. Now, the word achieve means to bring about an intended result. God's Word has some results that it intends to achieve. That the Word of God doesn't, it's not just like reading another book and you kind of get a little bit of information and on your way you go, that the Word of God, as it comes into your life, is going to change you. And you might say, well, it's not changing me anymore. Then something's wrong. And I can guarantee you this, it's not with the Bible. We can come to a point in our life where we say, sometimes we use the term, we plateau. But we want the Word of God to continue to have an effect upon our lives. I read the fictitious story about the two cows who were grazing in a pasture when they saw a milk truck passing by. Now on the side of the truck were the words pasteurized, homogenized, standardized, vitamin A added, to which one cow sighed and said to the other, makes you feel sort of inadequate, doesn't it? people try to improve on milk. But one thing that you'll never be able to improve on is the Word of God. Doesn't need any pasteurizing, standardizing, or homogenizing, or any vitamins of any letters added. It's complete. It has an achievement that it can produce in your life. There is a key, though. You have to let it. You ever notice that God doesn't force you to love Him? God does not force you to love His Word. But have you ever had a longing for God's Word? You ever just had that desire? Here in Psalm chapter 19, in verse number 10, we read, "More to be desired are they than gold." Now, how desirous is that? All across our province, there were places that, and still today, people are still in certain places looking for gold. Some of you guys, when you head up in the mountain, you've got that gold pan with you. And every once in a while, you stop at one of those streams and you start looking for some color. Because it's to be desired. But here he says, this is not like panning in the creek. This is far greater. But we find here that we have God's unchanging word. Somebody put it like this: feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God, not else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, His word shall stand forever. Now, the word forever is very difficult for me. My mind doesn't really comprehend forever, because everything is so limited in this life. It lasts for just a short while, except for that pain in my back or that muscle that's sore after working yesterday. Those things seem to last a lot longer, but you say there seems to be so many things in this life, they're just fleeting, they don't last, but you have the unchanging word of God, and that will stand forever. What are the achievements of God's word? There in verse number 7, he says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." The law of the Lord is perfect. It's complete. It's without blemish. And what is it? What does it achieve? It converts the soul. The law is that which shows us we need Christ. What did the law do throughout the Old Testament? It shows us that we are sinners. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, he says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." We are not made just by the law. The law shows us that we need Christ. The law was there to bring us unto Him, to say we need Him. In Galatians 2:16, he says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law." He ends it by saying, "For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." The word justifying, being just or right before God, that there's no amount of works that you can ever do that will save your soul. My soul is going to live somewhere forever. There was a day when it was justified because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The law showed me my sinfulness. Now, it didn't have to work very hard. As I think about growing up, my parents never sat me down and said, "Listen, son, today we're going to teach you how to lie. Today we're going to teach you how to disobey." That law of God showed me this very quickly, that I was a sinner before God. I didn't need any coaching. Now, I thought maybe I was a pretty good sinner. Someone might say, "I was pretty good at lying." No, you weren't. People saw through it. And greater than what people saw, there was a God in heaven who looked down, and He could see our sinfulness very, very easily. We need Christ. We needed him to come and die for our sins. We need Christ for the forgiveness of sins. We need Christ to free us from the penalty of our sin, which would be eternity without him forever in the lake of fire. When he saved me from the penalty of that sin. Now he's continuing, if I can use the word save me, saving me now from the power of sin. We would call that sanctification in the Bible, where God is continuing to do a work, that the Word of God was there to achieve my salvation, to bring me to Christ, and now the Word of God is still achieving in my heart the fact that I am becoming like Christ. There is a sanctifying process going on. So he freed me from the penalty of sin, and then he's continuing to free me from the power of sin. There are many people today who would say that they're a Christian, but they're locked into and bound by the power of sin. You go home and read Romans chapter 6, and it'll just show you that whoever we are servants to, that's whom we obey. Whether it's of sin and self, or whether it's unto righteousness and unto God. He makes it very clear. But as a Christian, once you are saved, he wants you to be an overcomer. We're studying on Sunday night, so we'll be back tonight. We're looking at the armor of God. Why do we need the armor of God? Because we're in a what? A battle. A spiritual battle. And though you come and you put your faith and trust in Christ and you are gloriously, wonderfully, eternally saved, what does the devil want to render your life? Ineffective. If he can mess up your life, if he can wreck your testimony or have you do it for him, he would just love it. So the Word of God saves us, and then he says, I want you to overcome. Very, very important. The law converts us. What does that mean? Turns us around. I was headed one way with self and sin, and when I was converted, I was turned around. And the Bible also uses the word repent, which, what's that mean? Doing a complete 180. We were one time running away from God, and the law shows us that we need God and to turn back or to be converted back to God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Was there a day when your soul was converted? Oh, so necessary. So, so necessary. Then he says there in verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The testimony is the witness of things that God has given us in his word. When you give a testimony, it is your witness of an event. God gave us his testimony of events, and it is sure, and it makes the simple wise. I was saved as a young boy. I would say that my life was simple. But you know what? God's testimonies have made it sure. God gave us many testimonies throughout his word. He gave us the testimony of creation. Is it sure? Yes. When one rejects the book of Genesis, the account of creation, the fall of man, a worldwide flood, division of languages, the promise to Abraham of the Messiah, one is not sure. You reject God's word, and you will not be sure. For instance, we have all kinds of ideas out there of the origin of life, and the one thing they know for sure is they're not quite sure. Maybe it happened like this. It was a possibility. But you go to the Word of God, and he just says it happened. When you begin reading the Bible, it doesn't just say, well, maybe there was God. It says, in the beginning, God created. It just automatically tells you that he's there. He is that sure. There's no argument for God. He just is. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God gives us his testimony, and it just takes us simple people, and it makes us sure. I am sure that when I go to leave this world, that I will go directly into the presence of God. That's what the Word of God has done for me. And that's not based on me. Sometimes people say, well, you're just cocky. You're just proud. You just think you know it all. I don't know it all, but I know enough that I know where I'm going to be forever in eternity. people are running around in this world, they think they're sure of things. And what does it take to tip the scale? A little bit of bad health? News from the doctor? And they're not so sure anymore. Financial failure? And all of a sudden they're not so sure anymore. A family member that rejects them? And they're all of a sudden not so sure anymore. You see how easily we are affected? And those things are real. But in the midst of all that, we have God's testimony that is sure. He says, thirdly, there's the statutes of the Lord. In verse number 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Now, statutes are things that are appointed. The things that God has appointed are right, they are moral, and they are just, and they bring joy. Micah the prophet said in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. As you read God's word, you see your life needs change. When you obey the Bible, it achieves joy in your heart. Those of you that are raising children or have raised children, would you say a child that obeys is happy? Those of you that are growing up in your home, underneath your parents, still as children, you know right away that when you obey, you are happy. God gave us a little bit of an analogy to show this. A person that is obeying the Lord, you'd say, they're going through a hard time. But guess what? They're still happy. They have the joy of the Lord as their strength because they've already got God's testimony and they're sure. Now they've got His statutes, God's appointments. You go to Ephesians chapter 5. He says, here's a husband. He's supposed to love his wife. He says, the wife is supposed to love her husband. You go to chapter 6 and it says children are supposed to obey their parents. And you put those are statutes. You say, that doesn't fit with this world we live in. You're right. But God's statutes are still true. I guarantee you, if I don't love my wife, I'll be miserable in no time. Yeah, that's just a statute. Now, guys, you don't have to try it out to find out. And ladies, you don't have to try it out to find out either. And children don't have to disobey their parents to find out, whoa, is this a miserable life? But when you look at the statutes that God has given, when we follow them, it doesn't make life perfect. It doesn't make problems go away, but it puts the joy of God within your soul. You put a price tag on that one? There isn't one. He says, the commandment of the Lord, in verse number 8, is pure, enlightening the eyes. The commandment is that which God has commanded, of course, and that which God has commanded is pure, is clean, and holy. It enlightens the eyes. What does that mean? It gives understanding. When we know the commandment of God, we begin to understand the character of God. When God gave the commandments to Moses back in Exodus chapter 20, it was so the children of Israel who had been in Egyptian bondage for 300 years would have an understanding of the God they worshiped. You know what they knew about God? Almost nothing. Very, very little. That's right. We read through that and think, oh, they must have known everything. Very little. You imagine if you had 300 years without God's word? What would we really remember? 300 years of Egyptian bondage, God brings them out and He gives them commandments so they'll know Him, that He does not want them to have any other gods but Him. God does not want any graven image, doesn't want His name taken in vain, so forth and so on. As you go through those commandments, you see that God is showing them here that when one understands these basic commands, then one has a basic understanding of God. You say, God is so vast. How will I understand Him? You start by using His word. Because I can guarantee you, my ideas and your ideas, the opinions that we have, that is not an understanding of God. God's word shows us His character. The more time you spend in His Word, the more time you spend with God and getting to know Him, the more you're going to know the character of God. And it will change your life. The fear of the Lord, he says there in verse number 9, is clean, enduring forever. That means it's pure. It's not fearful in being scared, but fearful in respect and reverence. Such as when you pray, let me ask you this. When you pray, why do you bow your head? Out of what? Respect and reverence to God. That's why we do that. I remember teaching our children, you need to close your eyes when you pray. Because you know what kids are like. Dear God, yeah, oh yeah, I'm praying. This little thing comes along, captivates their attention. Why do we bow our heads? Why do we close our eyes? Why? Because we're doing this out of respect to the Lord. There's a reverence. There's a fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. When a man prays, he takes off his hat. Why? That's just a nice tradition. Again, we're going back to reverence. And you find in the book of Psalms that reverend is His name. He's a holy God. I know we have a lot of sloppiness in so-called Christianity of today. But when you get into God's Word and you see the character of God in the Bible today, for your life, it'll produce a reverence and a fear of God. Because you'll see Him who He is. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. It means it abides. You know, one of the things that we will have in heaven forever? The fear of the Lord. You say, but Pastor, there are lots of people today who even name the name of Christ and they don't seem to have any fear of God. They want to live their life any old way they want to and carry on, and they call themselves a Christian. You know what they're going to have in heaven forever? The fear of God. Because it says right here, it abides forever. So I might as well start living in it now. Amen? If I know what's coming in eternity and I can have it right now, why wouldn't I start? The fear of the Lord, it abides forever. Job said in Job 28, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And Proverbs 16, verse 6 says that by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. One of the key factors for every born-again believer is the fear of God. Now, it's not a very popular subject. But you'll find it all throughout the Scriptures. And what I would challenge you to do is when you're reading through the Scripture, notice people who did not fear God and see what they achieved. You don't want to go there. We must have the fear of God. And as we're in God's Word, this will be achieved in our lives. You say, well, what if some people are mistaken and they actually think that they're fearing God is in an afraid sense? You know what? That wouldn't hurt you either. No. It'll get you serious. We live in a very frivolous society, right? In some cases, unless something is funny, people don't want it. Unless there's laughter and humor and... Now, yesterday, we had a great time putting John and Romans together. We had lots of fellowship. We had some laughter. We had some humor. But you know what? We also had the fear of God. There was nothing in our laughter and our humor that would insult God or shame Him or bring a reproach to our testimony in Christ. That's how beautiful it is. When you have the fear of God, everything else around it is subject to it. Because He is supreme. Not only do we notice there the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, but in verse 9, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The judgments are God's verdict. Just as the fear of God is not a popular topic, as soon as you say judgment, some people will begin to panic. But God's verdict or judgment, he shows here, is true. It is truth, it is righteous, and is morally right. I believe that we could probably all at some time or another say that we've seen things in this life that are not just and that judgment has not been served properly. I can guarantee you with your Heavenly Father that is never the case. It tells us that his judgments are true and righteous altogether. Many times people feel and might say that we should not or cannot judge. What we need to keep in mind is that right now God is presently judging. How does it make you feel? To know that each and every day as you live your life for God, that your God is actually looking at your life. Now, you made some judgments this morning. Don't tell me you didn't judge. You went to the closet. Some of you ladies tried on 3 outfits before you got the right one. You know why? Because you were judging. We do lots of judgment. But God's judgment is not just about the physical things or about the daily things that we have. It tells us here that his judgments are true and righteous altogether, all the time. We never have to wonder if he's doing the right thing. What is he judging with and according to? It's with his word. And you and I, as we read this word, we are judged thereby. I get judged every time I get in my car and I go down the road. I actually live in a school zone, and there's a judgment there that I'm only allowed to drive my car so fast. And you know what? As long as I stay within that speed limit, you know how much it bothers me? Nothing. It's when I disobey that judgment bothers me. Now, spiritually, I read something in God's word and I obey it. Does the judgment bother me? It actually encourages me. It brings me joy knowing that I'm obeying my Heavenly Father. But if I read something in God's word and I don't want to do it, or I'm not doing it and I'm not looking at, hey, I want to do what God is saying in this situation, it's going to bother me. And that's when sometimes people say, oh, I've had enough of this Christian life. I had enough of going to that church. I'm out of there. I've had enough of reading God's word. I'm not doing that anymore. You know why? Because the judgment of God's word brought conviction. That's the other C word besides change, is conviction that he brings in our lives. I had to tell you this morning that you should appreciate the conviction that God brings from his word into your life. What it's showing you is that God is working in your heart. God is working in your life. If you read the Word of God and nothing there ever comes to you and says, guess what, I need to change something here in my life, I wonder what it is you're reading. Because this is what God does. His judgments are true and righteous altogether. God uses his word to judge or to bring that conviction into our lives. When that comes, you have a choice. Some people will say, well, I'm just not going to make a choice. You just made one. Yeah. You did. We do it with our kids all the time. Those of you that are raising children, hey, this is what I want you to do. You need to go do this. And that child is going to make a decision. And they say, you need to go clean your room. You need to do it right now. And they're like, I'm not going to make that decision right now. Every parent knows they just disobeyed. Now, let's move it to the spiritual realm with me and my Heavenly Father. And I'm reading God's word. I'm listening to God's word. And all of a sudden, here it is, the word of God shows me something in my life. And I say, I'm not going to make that decision right now. I just made it. You see how important that is? So what is the Word of God achieving in your life? We've talked about these John and Romans going to Haiti. Amazing, wonderful, beautiful. But what about the Word of God coming into our lives? Spending time in that Word, allowing that to change you. Has God's law, first of all, most important thing, has it converted your soul? Is your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? The death, burial, and the resurrection? After that, does God's testimony, does it make you wise? I need wisdom from God. You've got to plug into the book of Proverbs. The things that God has appointed, do they bring you joy? In the book of 1 John, it says that His commandments are not grievous. Or does it make you grievous, God's Word? Or does it bring you joy? Do God's commandments, do they give you an understanding of God? Or maybe a lot of people, they swallow the idea, well, you know, I can live any old way I want to. But you're bought with a price when you come to God. When He saved me, He bought me. I belong to Him. What a joy that is. How is your reverence and fear of God? And do you see and believe that God's judgment is truth and right? What is He working on in your heart, in your life? Is there a Holy Spirit working in there that brings conviction, that can teach you and show you? Or are you so staid and so stuck? Sometimes even Bible-believing Christians get stuck in their tradition. And we say, what does the Word of God say on this? I told someone this week as I was talking to them, we were talking about some scripture, and I said, but we got to go with what the Bible says. I said, we got to stick to what this says. I knew what they were talking about, and I kind of knew where they were coming from, but I said, what does the Bible say? And it was just a passing conversation. And they said, well, next time, this person said to me, next time I come and talk to you, I will come prepared. I said, good. I said, we'll sit down, we'll get the Bible out, and we'll go over some of these things. And that was just something I hadn't prepared for that. I hadn't even thought. This person, just God brought him along in my life. I was like, wow. But what was encouraging was they said, yes, we'll get out the Bible and we will examine this. I thought, then there's hope. Because you and I, you could talk to somebody till you're blue in the face, but I can't change anyone. You can't change anyone. But what does the changing? God's Word. It changed me. It's still achieving its purpose in my life, and I want it to. Do you desire that achievement of God's Word in your life? Let us bow in prayer this morning. My Father, I thank You that You've given us Your holy Word, that it's powerful. It changes us. And I pray this morning that if there be anyone who says, wait a minute, the law of the Lord has not converted my soul, I pray that You would get their attention. You would show them how much You love them and how much You want Your Word to come into their life and change them and bring them to that point of saving faith in Jesus Christ. And what He did for us on the cross, now He rose again from the dead, that definitely changes us from an eternal death to an eternal life. Father, help us this morning. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, is that where you are? Are you looking unto God to save you from your sins? Oh, how He wants to. Perhaps you're online and watching this and God's working in your heart. You can call upon Him. Maybe this morning you say, I even have more questions. I need them answered. You got to get them answered. Faith is always based upon the facts of God's Word. You can get those questions answered. But perhaps on the other hand, as we're praying this morning in this attitude of reverence unto God, the Holy Spirit has been saying, wait a minute, there's something I want to achieve in your life. It's not been happening, but I want it to. Then on the other hand, you might have some things you say, I see what God is doing. You need to praise Him and thank Him. Does the Word of God still bring conviction? Does God's judgment, does it still work in your heart? That you would pray and say, oh God, that your Word would achieve its purpose. I would not be wasting my time and your time, but that I would be that serious-minded Christian that you want me to be. We're living in a frivolous world. The world is more concerned about all of its wickedness than it is about the Word of God. Oh, that God would help us. Oh, Father, would you change us? To be the children of God that you desire us to be. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, are you praying to God and asking Him to change you? Are you asking that God's Word would achieve its purpose in your life? Perhaps you look back and say, I didn't spend enough time in God's Word this week. That you take that to Him and confess that new purpose in your heart by God's grace, that He will help you to spend the time you need to in God's Word. Maybe you're realizing you didn't spend enough time in God's house this week, and the teaching and the preaching of God's Word is not effective in your life. That you would ask Him to change you, to mold you and to shape you, to be what He wants you to be. Oh God, would you hear from heaven? Would you hear our prayers? Would you shape our lives? Father, would you change our thinking? Help us not to get stuck on just traditionalism. Help us not to get stuck on just our opinions, but that we'd run everything through your holy word. For I ask this in the Savior's name. And amen.